Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, May 7th. I'm here not alone, thank goodness.
Oh, thank goodness. That intro is wrong, Sam. You didn't have someone re-record it just for me?
That's true, yes.
I am not Jen.
You're not Jen. For those of you who don't realize, there's a difference in voice. And we have Lauren Leonelli in the studio. Welcome
right.
to the show, Lauren.
Thank you for having me. I am
of
here.
Of course.
I am here and my voice is not as raspy as Jen's.
No.
Jen's but in Miami. You
know, yeah, but I truly think she's got a unique voice, you know?
She does.
I like when women have a raspy voice like that.
She has
know?
A voice for radio.
Yeah, there you go. But it still sounds feminine to me.
It does. Know? It's not a masculine raspy voice. It's like a sexy raspy voice. But did you know that some people call her Muppet?
No, I didn't know that.
So if you go to her apartment, her Wi-Fi, I'm not giving you the password,
okay.
But it's called Muppet. And I asked her, I'm like, why Muppet? And she's like, because my voice kind of sounds like a Muppet. Like, you know how the Muppets have like character-y sounding voices?
Right.
That's why.
Really?
Now you can call her Muppet, Sam.
She'll go, how did you figure that one out?
Just be like, I knew.
Yeah.
Your Wi-Fi told me.
Yeah, so for those of you just joining us, and if you haven't been listening lately, Jen is out on vacation. She went back to Miami to be with her family, and we're blessed with her best friend, Lauren, mm-hmm. who's here. You've been on the show three times, so this is the fourth
is
now.
Is it the fourth?
Yes, and now you're comfortable here, which
Can't
is cool.
Can't even keep track. I am comfortable here. I'm the other half of the two drunk girls.
Yes, tell us a little bit about the show from your perspective.
Is this going to be different than Jen's?
So, I don't know. Well, you're the second half of that. So.
We'll have to see what I say compared to her. So we host a show together called Two Drunk Girls. You can watch us on YouTube. And we just do a weekly show. It's like we say it's like entertainment news with booze. So we'll pick some like hot topic or something going on that's like pertinent to now, and we'll talk about it while having a drink, and we'll make the drink and tell you what the drink is, and we'll sip the drink.
Right.
And then we do other things too. I mean, sometimes we'll come on this show together. Obviously, we do stuff at AfterBuzz TV,
mm-hmm.
and then we have other shows in the works that go kind of with the Two Drunk Girls brand, but we're not like hammered all the time.
Yeah, I know, because you really, I mean, your show is about, what, 5-10 minutes an episode?
Even shorter, Sam. It's like five at the most, just because for YouTube, I feel like people don't as long.
You're right.
It has a different attention span, if you will.
Right.
People turn it off. I mean, there's different ways you can look in. Like, our manager will tell us, like, what are, you know, who's watching the show. There's different ways they can figure that out. Like,
mm-hmm.
People who watch our show are mostly men,
uh-huh.
which is weird because we speak to women a lot, but whatever. I think maybe it's because they're searching Two Drunk Girls and then that's us.
Yeah, either that or they see a couple hot chicks. They're like, let's see what they have to say.
Exactly.
You know?
So it's men, and they usually stop listening around like the 3-4 minute mark. I think it depends on what you're talking about, but it's just, you know, everyone's like on their phone.
Uh-huh.
They're at work. They have a couple minutes. They're waiting for something. They're scrolling through their stuff, and they're like, what's this? And then after, I mean, if you're longer than to watch a video, if you're longer than 5 minutes, it's like, goodbye.
Yeah, we no, you're absolutely
unless
right.
Unless you're
you know?
A recognized person or, you know.
Yeah. I know, and this translates itself to dating and, you know, picking up people.
Wait, why do you say that, Sam?
I'll tell you why, because people have you talked about the short attention span.
Ooh.
And I'm talking about that, you know, and I was telling Jen that I went to a white party, a singles party on Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah, I did. And that's right. You were here before that, so I told you.
And then
you
Jen told me about it because it was with the three, can we say who it was with?
The three-day rule. Yeah, yeah. And you guys are connected with them, right?
Connected in a way. With them, and we're going to, I think, be part of a party that's coming up soon. I don't have details yet, but
Cool.
It's going to be a singles party. Maybe you'll be at the party.
Yeah,
Sam.
You see, now I have a reason to go. At least I'll know somebody.
You should come. Okay, wait. How are you involved with the three-day rule? I don't know this story.
They were here on the show promoting the Great Love Debate. Mm. And what's her name? Kate was here.
Yes.
And so we were talking about that. And then I went to that event, to the Great Love Debate, and I saw her there as well and stuff. So then I got... Oh, and she says, well, why don't you fill out our database and stuff, you know, and we'll... I said, okay, I will. And she contacted me, and she said, okay, well, let's get together for coffee or something and find out what you're looking for and what we have and stuff. And never followed up, you know.
Oh,
it just
really?
Sort of disappeared, fell through the cracks. So I was hoping to see her at the party there, but I didn't see anybody from the three-day rule. They were probably just mingling or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So... but the way I found out about the party is they had emailed me, you know, and said there was a party. And I thought, wow, you know, that sounds pretty good. The problem with me is...
What was, really quick though, what was the premise of the party? It's just like singles?
Yeah, singles. Okay. And supposedly there were going to be 500 people, but I estimated more like 200, maybe 3 at the most. It didn't even feel like 100, to be honest with
really?
You. Yeah. But that's not the point. There were still plenty of people.
Right.
It was a white theme, so everybody was dressed in white, beautiful, everybody. And it was a great idea to dress like that, you know, because it's really cool.
Yeah. And did you feel like...
So I felt out of place, and I told Jen about this.
Wait,
and I
why?
Told all the listeners and stuff, because suddenly it occurred to me to start looking and see who was there, right?
Yeah.
Because you just walk in and
there's
just...
Well, you're by yourself, too.
Right, right. Which I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
But so you go in there and, you know, so I thought I'd get a drink or something first,
of
you
course.
Know, sort of like get a feel for the place. And then I saw them making tacos and I thought, wow, I'll have a couple tacos. And also give me more time to sort of like get situated and see what's going on. So as I am, I'm realizing, you know what? Everybody here is much younger than I am. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. And what irritates me is that they'll always tell you, you know, all these matchmakers or whatever, they'll always tell you, oh, no, you know, the age is okay. We have singles at all ages and things like that. That was not the case.
What did you feel like was the main age range?
20s to 30s.
Really?
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes. There may have been some early 40s, but I didn't see them. Maybe they just looked younger or something.
Got it.
You know?
Well, you never know with people in L.A.
Exactly. Exactly. But I felt like... But you see, that's the thing. You got to realize this. It's like I look at this like a dog. When a dog looks at people, I think dogs think that they are people. They look because that's all they see.
Right.
So from my perspective, I always see the young people and I feel like I'm their age.
Of course.
You know, I haven't like it's only when I look in the mirror am I reminded of my age.
Right.
So I go there and I feel, hey, you know, this is cool. You know, I'd befriend this guy. I'd pick up this girl or whatever. But it's not the case, you know. I'm like suddenly sitting there, and I see I'm only the only one with gray hair and stuff. And I thought, you know, there's nobody for me here.
Well, okay. So you're saying at some moment you stepped out of that. I feel like I'm looking at who I am. I'm around my peers because I feel young. And then you had a moment where you got in your head and you were like,
right, you're right. That's what I did.
Well, I think, first of all, Sam, don't you also kind of want a little bit of a younger woman?
I do. A lot of a younger woman. No, I'll be honest. No, I mean, look, early 40s, late 30s, I think would be great. But look, I'm also realistic because...
Yeah.
And let me tell you why. Okay, well, first of all, I think it's in the genes for men, I think, to desire younger women because I think they represent fertility and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I realized that I'm not going to apologize for this anymore.
No.
But the thing is this, look, the truth is that people always get along best with people in their age range, you know, because they're at different parts of, I mean, they're at similar parts in their lives, you know, they're looking for different things. They've been through this stuff.
Right.
I mean, you know, women in their 30s, they look to build a family, to make a family. Women in their 30s, early 40s, if they hadn't been married yet, they're really under pressure to get married.
Totally.
You know, and I'm not.
You're not looking for that. You don't want
kids. You see, that's the thing. I wouldn't mind it at
all. Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind. I'm just thinking from their perspective. I mean, I, in a minute, would start a new family. I have no problem with that. But I'm also not kidding myself that I'm going to get very old, while my wife and my kid are very young. And right. I think that would be a problem. So I can see why society keeps the age groups together.
I think that's a good general statement, but I don't think it's always the case. Mm. You know what I mean?
It's never always, you know what
course,
I mean?
But that doesn't mean that you should settle and go to this party and feel great and then get in your head. And that's why I'm saying, that's why you don't have to apologize for liking your younger woman. That's what you want.
Right.
And you're also not opposed to having a family, which is what a girl in her late 30s will probably want.
Right.
So you should not apologize for it, and you should, it's easier yeah. said than done, but get out of your head in those situations and just be like, right. you have great things about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, like forget about how you look.
There's
yeah,
nothing wrong that. With the way you look yeah. either, and there's clearly women out there who are going to, there's certain women who want to, Jen and I have talked about with you how we like a guy that has gray hair.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, right. I don't mind any of those things, but right. you have to be confident. And that's all it is too, Sam, don't you think?
It is.
A confidence thing.
It's a totally a
because
confidence thing.
I have
thing.
Been
totally.
Talking to a guy that I don't know that I'm necessarily attracted to, and then he's really smart, or he's really confident, or he's really funny, or there's some sort of gravitas about this person, and I'm like, what does that person have going on?
Mm.
Like, and you walked into this party probably feeling all those things, and then, but I get it, though. That's a hard situation to be in. You're alone. With,
and you're alone, and that's another thing.
You should have brought a friend.
I should have brought a friend, but you see, I have a problem with that because my friends at my age are not single.
Mm.
You know, they're all married or in relationships
or,
and stuff. And so who are you going to take to a singles party?
Or a single girl.
Well, yeah.
That's
so
not
one of
with
my,
you.
Right. But one of my female friends wanted to come, but it was sold out already, so
oh.
we couldn't bring her in. Apparently, the ladies' tickets sold out faster than the men.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because that goes back to my rule about L.A., and I've said this to you before. I feel like if a guy wants a girlfriend here, mm-hmm. he can have one in a second. But it's not mm-hmm. the same for a girl.
I don't think so.
Don't you agree?
No, don't think so.
You disagree?
I disagree.
Really?
I disagree. I think if you're a woman and you're attractive enough, you're never alone. And that's the thing is that when you, like when I walked in, it's like you feel invisible. Then I saw the women walking in and it's like, think about it. You know, think about yourself, right? You walk in. How long do you think it's going to take before someone approaches you? Two minutes? Not even that long.
Sam?
Yeah.
Let me back up on that one.
Okay.
Because if I'm going to a singles party where everyone knows that that's what they're doing, it's a different story. When I go out in LA and it's just at a bar, it's very rare that men approach us. And Jen and I have talked about that with you. You told us
right.
it's because you all travel in packs, and that's, and I've had more than you say that too.
Right.
That you, if you, you know, go to the bathroom by yourself, so you're left alone, and it's easier for a guy to approach you. Because I feel like men don't approach me or Jen or the girls I'm with.
Mm.
It's very rare.
Yeah, but here I'm giving it to you from the other side, from the other perspective. And what I'm saying to you is, I couldn't approach anybody because they're all talking to each
other.
They're
all already, yeah.
Yeah, and so you know, and then you stand there and you realize, you know what? Everybody's talking to each other. Everybody's having fun, and I'm sitting here still trying to figure out if I belong here. So it didn't take me more than like 45 minutes. I was out of there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You ate your tacos.
I really felt,
and you left.
Yeah, I got it, but because it occurred to me, this party's not for me.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm not the target audience here. There were a couple of, but the reason I brought up the reason we got into this is talking about the attention span and everything.
Yes.
And so my example is, and I apologize to the people who already heard the story, but I'm telling it to Lauren now and to the people that didn't hear
it before. And we get a
different
perspective now.
Exactly. So. So I'm standing in line there, and what they did is they gave everybody a number when they came in, and they said you should find someone with your number, and you'll win a prize or something, right?
Really?
Yeah. So, but that's kind of cheesy, you know, because what are you going to do, start approaching people? But you know what? I was standing in the taco line, and sure enough, this woman, a pretty woman, walks up to me, and she says, what number do you have? And I looked, I told her my number, and, you know, before I could say a word, someone in the line was grabbing her, saying something else or something.
Oh,
she totally lost interest. Not a guy necessarily. It was a guy and a girl. But they just said, we just stood in line. We realized we have the same number and we're standing next to each other. So that got her distracted.
Yeah.
She was gone before I knew it.
Put in your situation where you're feeling like you're trying to break the ice with people, she comes up and talks to you, and then all of a sudden, before you can even open your mouth to say, I'm number five, she's gone. I mean, that's...
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, you know, and it happens, I think, in LA, and we've discussed this, with everything, with the apps, you know, with the websites.
Tinder.
All these things. People
with
just like...
Tinder, it's like, oh, so you're going to decide if you're going on a date by looking at someone for 1 second, and then you either swipe left or right? I mean, come on, that is not...
I know, but that's the thing. I think it's a different thing for different people. To me, it's just a game of like, is she attractive or not? Is she attractive or not?
Hot or not?
Yeah. And you know what? And then you look at the other pictures and you realize, wait a minute, this picture is not really her. It doesn't look like her.
Totally.
You know? And you go, so what exactly do they look like? And they put up bad quality pictures too. It's like, why would you do that?
I hate when dudes put up pictures and they're like far away and there's four guys in every photo. I'm like, which one are you?
Exactly. Which one are you?
Which one are you? And also, I guess I have a little bit. I can at times have a short attention span, but on stuff like that, I like to look at the photos and go through them and read what they write underneath.
Right,
like there's like a little bio, if they write. So, but I think for those apps are made for people who have a short attention span, which is why I don't really think I go on it that much.
Yeah, I know. And it's just, I don't think people take it seriously. I don't.
Yeah, I don't really either. I will say, though, when I lived in New York, it felt different doing it there than it did here.
Oh, wow. That's
interesting. I felt like people there were more, they didn't, they jumped on the ball faster. Like, I could be messaging with someone on Tinder, and within 15 minutes, they'd be like, what are you doing tonight? But that's kind of how it is in New York, though. I feel like everything here takes a lot longer than in New York. It's faster paced there, and B, if you want to go somewhere, it's not going to take you 10 hours to drive 5 miles like it does here. You just get on the subway and you go. You walk to wherever you're going. Meet me at Central Park. Everything's always like happening there, and it doesn't end till 4 a.m. or whatever. And so everyone's always ready to go out and meet. And I dated a lot on Tinder in New York and met great people.
Really? That's cool. Did you live there in New York?
Yeah, I lived there for like half a year-ish.
Really? What did you do there?
I went there with my previous job when I was nannying.
Okay.
And then I did, I was trying to also host and do stuff like that over there. So taking meetings and all of that. Because that's kind of like the epicenter for that over there. Because it's, the East Coast feed is where everything starts, like news-wise
that's
and stuff
true.
Like that. But it was so fun. It was the best time of my life.
I know. New York is so different, right?
So different. And I just read this article, actually, last night. My friend sent it to me. And it's about how, going back to what you're saying, people are like, New York and L.A. are so different. And they are. But there's always this snobbery about people in New York. They're like, ugh, L.A., it's so fake. It's so plastic. It's like, and I'm not disagreeing with that totally. But there's this new wave that's happening now where a lot of people in New York are moving to L.A. And they're like... they're saying like, oh, I don't know if it's Instagram or social media, but we're looking at all of our friends' feeds and we're seeing them, like people who live in New York. We're seeing our friends who moved to LA and they're like eating outside in February and they're going to, doing all of these things. Yeah. And they're like, and they're not killing themselves to pay $2,000 for like a studio apartment in like the middle of Brooklyn.
Right.
And so these people and artists are moving over here saying, it's a better quality of life. The weather is better. And it feels like people are creating things here. Like some girl said, I wanted to shoot a music video. I moved to LA. I wanted to shoot this video. I posted something on Facebook. And within 15 minutes, I had 20 people saying, yeah, I've got a camera. I've got this. Let's go here. And they all just wanted to help and make this video. Whereas I guess in New York, it's not like that.
Yeah.
So there's this whole influx of these young artists moving to LA now, finding little pockets that kind of feel like urban New York. Mm-hmm. There was a link in the article about like what those areas were in LA. I didn't look them up yet because I'm like, I think I want to move to one of those places. they're like thriving, living here and loving it. And now everyone's starting to, they're doing fashion shows here. There's all these art galleries popping up and it's being, because my complaint about LA compared to New York is that it feels less cultured here to me.
Yes. Well, to most people, I think.
And
you know,
so, and that it's
we're
like,
more materialistic.
Yeah.
Here
and it's stuff, kind of yeah. vapid. And there's the only real history here is Hollywood, which is interesting, but that's also the same reason that makes it feel vapid.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think now there's all these artists coming and creating things. And I'm actually, and I will say, I left New York last year. It was a year ago. And I thought, I don't know how I'm going to move back to LA.
Really?
I was really like, besides my friends, I'm going to hate it. And wow. I am surprised in the last year how much fun I've had. And I think it's because I treated LA when I moved back here like I treated New York. Like I didn't just live here. Like in New York, I was always trying to do something.
Trying to go
here or go to Brooklyn by myself or go to this bookstore or do things that I wouldn't just.
Yeah,
in
there's
LA,
so many places to go there,
yeah,
right?
There's so many places. And there are fun things to do here. But when you're living here, it's like I said when I'm from San Francisco. People are like, oh, have you walked across the Golden Gate Bridge? I'm like, no, I live there. I drive across the bridge all the time to go up to the Russian River and wine country. Why would I walk across the bridge?
Yeah.
Like, that's not fun.
Right.
Because you don't treat it like it's the only time you're going to be there.
Right.
So I told myself when I moved back from New York to LA that I need to treat LA like I have like a short amount of time and I want to do these things. So I'll go to the outdoor. Have you ever been to the outdoor movies at the cemetery?
No, I've heard of them, though.
Okay, Sam, you should
go. You like it?
It's so fun. They start around now, and they do. There's a Hollywood cemetery, and they have this big wall, white wall, and they project movies, like classic movies on
right, right.
And you bring a blanket, you bring a bottle of wine and food, and you just, there's thousands of people, probably.
Wow.
And you just go, and so stuff like that. Like, I've lived here for 10 years, and I've never done that before until, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I had to tell myself, like, go do these things. Like, if that were New York, someone was like, there's a movie in Central Park, I'd be like, this is the best thing ever. But, like, LA has it, too.
Yeah.
You know, you just take it for granted because you're stuck in your car all day, and you're going through the motions, and you're just living here, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know.
And people work a lot here on the West Coast, you know.
They
at
do.
Least in LA, people are constantly working. It's like a labor camp or something,
totally.
You know. People don't stop working.
And weird hours too.
People
work really weird hours here. LA, right. It's like most people work on Wall Street. So they're like 6 a.m. to 4.
You mean New York?
I mean New York.
Yeah. And not only that, but you know, in New York there's everything stays open late as well. So you want to eat at 11, you can still find great restaurants.
I know.
And here you just don't have that, you know. And
I
remember, that's why I love visiting New York, especially during the holidays, you know, with all the lights and the rain and all that. But you know, so when I go there, I really love visiting there. And LA seems like a cemetery to me.
Totally.
Like a graveyard in that it's so sleepy compared to New York.
It's sleepy. And also I feel like seasonally wise, like it is good to go to New York during like the holidays because it feels like. To here, it doesn't really feel like Christmas.
Right, exactly.
Christmas, you know what I mean?
There, it's like you feel there's people around you, you know, people shopping.
It's a different energy there all the time.
It really is.
And I do love, it really is the city that never sleeps because I had nights in New York where I would literally walk out of a restaurant having wine and like escargot and weird stuff with foreign people that I just met and took a cab with somewhere. And you walk outside and you're like, oh my God, I think the sun's coming up. Like, it's like one of those things where, I mean, you can't do that all the time.
Right.
But you can do it. Here, it's like 1:30. They're kicking you out of the bar. I don't know. Make sense out of this. Do you know why? Why do bars close early here?
You know, I don't know.
Because
I've lived here very long and I still haven't figured it out.
Hi, don't you think they could make like a bazillion more dollars if they stayed open until like 4 in the morning?
They would.
So what's the deal with that?
I don't know, man. Also, I mean, this city, LA, has got different parts to it. So, whereas here in the Valley, all the restaurants are closed at 9:30.
Yeah.
Where you live, they stay open till 11, right?
Yeah.
Midnight or something.
True. And I think that, it's just geographically, it's never going to be like New York. New York is great public transportation, and it's way more compacted, and everything's a lot closer. So I think that, you know, staying bars that stay open late and things like that. Yeah, it's like a regional thing. Because in the Valley, it's not going to be like that. But maybe in Hollywood, where it's like more concentrated and there's bars and clubs and restaurants, those those places should stay open later, I think. I don't understand why they don't.
You're right. And I'm sure they're going to have business. It's not like people go to sleep.
No.
If there was something open, people would go out.
You always hear about those places that are like the after party. Like there was this one, I remember it was 10 years ago, and it was this thing called Zini. It was like a group of people. I think I'm relaying this information correctly because I wasn't in it. But like you buy this membership and then they like open these places after hours and you can go and you can, I don't know that they could like serve alcohol really, but it was like another party after a party. You had to be a member and you could go if you were someone's guest because there is like a market for people who want to stay out late. Right. And a lot of people that come here are from other places that are used to that,
exactly.
Like Miami and New York and... I just don't understand why the bars close so early here. But they literally kick you out. They're like, lights are on. And they're like, get out. It's 1:30. You're like trying to drink the rest of your drink.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe people say that nothing good happens after 2 a.m. or whatever.
That's true. And I think that's why they do it. You know, I think it's because of the drinking issues. And I think in New York, you get to walk more. It's not like you drive, right, in the subway. So, but here, they have the fear maybe of the drunk drivers.
But Uber, though, with Uber?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they should invent public transportation here, okay? It's like you can clone a human being and you can't figure out how to make public transportation.
Right. But I got to tell you, it's not like they can't, but, well, subways obviously is going to be hard to build now.
Yeah, that's
but true. Buses and things like that, first of all, many of them get stuck in traffic too. It's, you know, except like they have those orange lines, whatever they call them, which they have like their own lanes.
Yeah.
But I think it's the culture. I don't think people would take public transportation.
It's the culture, true. And I also think it's the geography and the layout. But don't you think it could, because it's so spread out here, but it could in Hollywood. It could work.
Yeah.
Like, there could be some sort of, I don't know what. But
that's true. Like, even a bus or a shuttle or something that takes you up and down the boulevard.
Totally do
right?
that. Yeah. I would, and if it was like $2.50 a ride, nobody would use it. People would just take that.
Right.
Because at night, at certain nights, you know, Saturday nights or whatever, Uber is like, there's a surge rate and it gets really expensive. And then it takes, it's all this money just to go 3 miles. And I would do the public transportation in a second.
Yeah.
And also, speaking of that, have you heard there's some, I don't know how far into this there or if it's just an idea, but I think it's the Tesla guy.
Elon
Musk.
Thank you.
He is thinking about trying to make this like crazy fast, I guess it's like a bullet train or something. And it's going to, he wants to build it so that people from LA and San Francisco can get to, it's going to travel 800 miles an hour, and he wants it to take a half hour.
Really?
And apparently he thinks it could be free because they have you in a seat for a half hour, and they're going to be putting like advertising up while you're in the train, so that's going to pay for the train,
right.
I guess.
Wow.
And they want it to be able to make people be able to work and commute.
Right.
Like, I could live in Los Angeles and I could have a job in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Although, who would... Well, yeah, I guess because it could be cheaper to live here, though. It's like really expensive to live in the Bay Area.
Right.
So maybe that would be a draw. But yeah, how crazy would that be? I'm from San Francisco. I could get home in a half hour?
Yeah.
For free? Hell yeah. But that freaks me out, though.
But they're not going to do it for free because anything do for free, you know, sometimes they price things just so not everybody goes there and does it, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why sometimes they do that, like with parking. You go to a place, you expect it to be free parking, but they charge because otherwise...
They only want a certain clientele.
Yeah, or a certain number of people. They can't accommodate everybody.
True. Yeah, I guess they wouldn't make it free, but whoever was telling me the story about it was saying that he thinks it could be free or potentially very inexpensive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would do that, but it also kind of freaks me out. 800-mile-an-hour train?
That's pretty fast.
What happens if something bad happens?
Yeah. You see, I think they would make it levitate. I can't see anything going that fast.
It would be like a magnetic levitate. Isn't that like the one in Japan? Isn't the bullet train like levitate?
Yes, yes. They call it maglev, you know, magnetic levitation.
Oh, geez, look at you with your technical terms.
Yeah, you see.
Hey, so that's what you got to do. When next time you go to one of those singles parties, so there's this train.
Yeah, but I got to get to that point. You see, and that's the thing. like dating coaches will tell you, well, this is how you carry a conversation. This is how you entertain. This is how you're honest and all this stuff. I don't have any problem with that at all. You see, I can talk.
I was
going to
say, you don't need that. You talk.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. And you know, keeping people interested and fascinated and stuff. But it's breaking the ice. That's the issue for me.
That's the issue for me.
Breaking the ice. Saying the first hi and dealing with the possible rejection. Because... yeah, it's just a rejection. That's all it
is.
Okay,
so it's probably
it's not like I don't have confidence. I mean, I carry conversations with everybody.
Sam, you break the ice every single day on the radio.
On the radio, because you can, yeah. Because you can, you know, because I'm not trying to hit on anybody. And it's a different thing.
Okay, but don't... Maybe that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Like, try not... I know it's hard, but try not to make it like, okay, I'm about to hit on this girl. Just start talking. Because you know what? You never know. Like, even if you walk up to a chick and you think she's super hot, you start talking to her after 5 minutes, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. You're like, maybe I'll talk to that girl because she's just standing here. And then all of a sudden, 5 minutes into the conversation, you're like, whoa, wait, this girl's really great.
That's true.
So you have to take that initial pressure off yourself before you even know what you want.
Right.
Right?
No, that's true. But I think what happens is the thinking goes, and I've heard a lot of guys say this also, is because when you see an attractive woman, you figure that everybody hits on her.
True.
So it's just going to be just another, you know, and you're probably going to get rejected, and it's not worth it, so I'm not going to do it.
The rejection thing I can see.
Yeah.
But the breaking the ice thing, I mean, I'm not saying you're not allowed
to feel.
Well,
but the breaking the ice is because of the possible rejection. That's all. It's not like I can't say hi or start a conversation.
Yeah, but
I mean, I do in the elevator. I do at the store. I do all the time. It's just when it's a high sexual tension that I shut down.
It's the anticipatory anxiety of the fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Now look at that.
Yeah.
Did you see my technical term?
There you go. You see, you know exactly what you're talking
about.
That's
right. I can maybe don't know about bullet trains, but I could talk to you about this. Yeah. Clearly have all the answers because I'm single. Hi. Ha, 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 ha. Call me. Ugh, no, I know. It's easier to give advice than to get. But
yeah.
I feel like, yeah, I mean, that is nerve-wracking. And girls don't really, it's a little bit less of a fear with women because we expect the men to come up to us.
Right.
So I mean, I guess we don't go up to men as often as women.
Right.
You know, look, so we don't have to deal with the rejection factor, but it does eventually come into play, though, rejection with women, because I think we get to a certain point where, you know, we want to see if you're going to text us back, or I think that comes later with us.
Right. But you see, I think when you pick up someone at a party like this or at a restaurant, that's like a cold call, like a sales call, you know, where it's not solicited or anything. But if you're in a situation where you're at a party and you meet someone...
And it's organic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's nothing stands in the way. There's no breaking the ice because there's something in common.
So it's these single parties that you feel like...
I think the single parties all the singles hangouts.
It's like
completely.
Puts the pressure on unnecessarily.
Right.
There's already pressure anyway.
And you see, and I don't have... I mean, you also have to remember that I haven't dated in like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So not only am I a different age, but it's a different time.
Yes.
You know, people do things differently. I mean, they didn't have those apps 10 years ago and all these things, you know. And 10 years ago is not too long ago. I mean, you know, I mean, I can talk to you about 20 years ago and things were really different then.
Exactly.
But so even when I dated 10 years ago, it was very short periods because I've always been in relationships more or less, you know.
Okay.
I think the longest I've gone is maybe a year or two without a relationship.
Really?
Yeah, which is now, you know. So,
okay.
But when I was younger, it was never that long. So, but most of the women that I ended up with were women that sort of like approached me, you know. Or,
really?
Yeah. But it was never a cold call or anything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was. I mean, my first wife, we had bought a little cafe in Encino here when my parents were here.
Okay.
Yeah, and we were looking for like a family business. So we found that, and then she was a hairdresser, and she started asking about me, and then asking my brother if I was attached and all that stuff. So that's kind of how it worked. So, and you see, that's because it's easier for me. I don't have to work hard.
Well, Sam.
But what it means is sometimes you settle not for necessarily who you want to be with.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, because so you're just like, I'll take what I can get?
No, but you're saying,
okay,
well, it's already worked out. You know, we're already in a great relationship and everything, but You know, but if it was up to me, maybe I would have loved to settle down with someone else or something.
But
you know?
But you don't want to have to do.
Yeah, the
you don't want to be the aggressor. Well, maybe yeah. that look. Well, that hasn't always ended up in the best ending situation for you. So maybe now is the time for you to challenge yourself and say, "All right, if I'm not the aggressor, then maybe I'm not getting exactly what I want."
Right.
And it's not easy, and
right.
you are going to get rejected, but it's. Kind of unavoidable, and
right.
it sucks. And you're always, you know what they always say, you're supposed to, if it scares you, then go do it.
Yeah, that's true, because that's probably your biggest lesson, the one that you really need to learn in your life.
Because at the end of the day, it's like, would you rather go through being in a relationship for however many years and wasting your time and then
right.
ending up back where you started again with nothing?
Well,
no, I mean,
that's
not
true.
That things don't come out of it, lessons or kids or whatever, but,
right.
you know, it's now is your time to say, all right, let's step out of the box a little. Let's change my patterns. I'll try and be the aggressor. Because you, and this is the thing, Sam, it's not like you're not good at
yeah.
carrying a conversation with somebody. I get the fear, but, like, it would be one thing if you were really quiet or you had nothing interesting to say and, like, you were right. boring or not intelligent. None of those things are true.
Right.
So it's like...
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I get it. It's in your head, but...
Right. No, it is. It is. And I actually told Jen when we were talking about this that at least I learned something from that thing, and that is I need some therapy. I need to work on my... No, I've done it before, but I think it's time to do it again to build up my confidence
for
a little
sure.
bit now that I'm single and everything. I mean, I've been single for 2 years now, but I, you know, and I mean, I've been dating and stuff like that, but you know, no relationships, even
yeah.
though I'm sometimes wondering maybe the reason that I'm not attracting what I want is because I'm not really looking for a relationship.
Maybe
you
not.
Know? Just looking to hook up and stuff And most women do not want that. They
yeah,
want long-term relationships.
That's true.
That's what you see. It's like whether it's in Tinder or the dating sites, they're always like, no hooking up, you know, just
yeah,
like
just
long-term
here, only
relationship.
For something. That's what I'm saying. Right. That goes back to, and it's a general statement, I realize, but that goes back to me saying if a chick wants a relationship in LA, it is not her choice. It's the dude. Usually. That's why I'm saying it feels that way to me. I feel
really?
Like all of the women are like, I don't want to just hook up. I want something serious. And guys are like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
But that's the thing is, I think it depends on what stage in the guy's life.
True. That's
right?
why I like older men.
And
not 26-year-old guys who are...
Exactly.
But you
know, I think
that story. Same.
I think mid to late 30s for you would be perfect, you know, because...
Perfect.
Yeah. You know, because they're also looking to start families and
mm-hmm.
stuff, you know, and...
So, I agree.
So it's just a question of, you know, when it's going to happen.
I know.
And the thing is this, is that I think if you haven't found someone, you know, it's probably not just the right time.
It
you
might
know?
Not be.
May
and,
not be the right
and
time.
And I also feel like it's about the vibe and the energy that you're putting out. And
right.
it's just like a job interview or an audition. If you walk into the job interview or the audition and you're like, please pick me. I really want this job. Please,
right.
please. Like, nobody likes that energy or that pressure.
Right.
Casting directors are like, ugh. Or like the job interview person's like, okay, like, they're very ambitious, but ugh. Like, it's more interesting when you have things going on in your life and you're like drawing people in that way because you're busy or
right.
you're whatever. And I'm not saying act uninterested or aloof because there's a fine line, but I feel like in the past month of my life, I've gone through like some changes just generally and like made a shift. And I think that I always used to say this to myself that I really, really want to be in a relationship, but I can't have that like that desire or that desperation like be
right.
what's leading me through this thing. It has to be a want, but I can't lead with that because it comes off not looking good. So how do I trick myself into telling myself that's not what I want so I don't come off that way, like on a
right.
date where I'm like, are we gonna get married, you know? Nobody likes
right.
that, right? So,
exactly. But women do tend to do that.
They tend
although
to do
men
that.
Do that too,
men,
you know,
they're, exactly,
they'll
it's
see
not,
like a hot woman, it's like, oh, I'm marrying her, you
yeah.
know. They can already see them like with her as a trophy wife
totally.
Or something, you know.
Both sexes do it, but I feel like
yeah.
it's a general statement for women. And so what I've been doing lately is, and it sort of unintentionally kind of happened, but then I stepped out of myself and saw what was happening and thought, oh, okay, so what I've been doing, I want a relationship, but I've just been like going out and having fun
right.
and trying not to read into things and just, and I feel like it's attracting more men to me.
Good.
Because I'm putting out that vibe of like, hey, I'm having fun. Hey, I was just with this guy, or now I'm with this guy. And like, obviously within reason, but
right.
you know, you're putting out that vibe. Things are going on for me. And so it feels like I walked into a bar. I told you no one ever approaches me. Like a couple right. weeks ago, I was with Jen and I walked in this bar and some guy stopped me like, hi, dead in my tracks.
Wow.
Started talking to me. That never happens really.
Yeah.
And it must be because of the energy I'm putting out. I want a relationship and all of these things that are happening are not turning into relationships, but it's putting that vibe out of me being busy and just discovering different men.
Right.
Even if it's just for a short time.
Absolutely. But I think you totally have to look inside yourself and ask why, you know, and everybody's got different reasons and everything, but yeah, if you're at a point where you already start fantasizing about a family and everything, the moment you meet the guy, you're gonna probably put out that energy.
Totally.
And it's gonna scare him off completely.
Because totally.
Guys don't want to hear commitment, or many guys don't.
I know.
To me, it's there's no problem with commitment at all.
For you, but you're yeah. an exception to the rule.
Well, I think many guys are like that too. Yeah. It just depends, you know. And again, it depends on the age as well.
I agree.
And I think, like you said, you know, many of them are probably still immature. They're not ready to get married. I mean, my God, I got married at 30, and to me, I felt that it was too soon too.
Yeah.
You know,
30's young.
Yeah. But no, actually, I'm sorry. I got married at 27. Okay. I wanted to wait till I was 30.
27's really young.
I know. And but I was ready for a commitment, you know.
Yeah.
It just, I wasn't sure that it wasn't the right person for me. And I married for the wrong reasons.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, you know how sometimes people go, God, I wish our families would get along.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our families got along better than we did.
Yep. Sometimes so, that happens.
Yeah.
I had a relationship.
So we stayed together, you know.
I had a relationship in the past where I really, really, really loved his family. And I loved him too, but it was a really, really hard thing for me to get over once we broke up, was like detaching from his family.
Right.
So I can see how that's a draw sometimes. Yeah. What do you think about, I have a question for you. I know somebody that might be related to me that has a girlfriend-ish. And they're already, like, thinking about buying a house together. It's making me very nervous.
Why?
What do you think about that?
Why?
Because they've known each other for, like, 2 months.
Really?
I mean...
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think about
okay,
that?
Okay, now I get it. Okay, you didn't explain
okay, yeah,
that.
I didn't give you the details.
Yeah.
I just... Look,
after
I'm
two
all
months?
For it. I feel like they're both... They were both separately looking to do that anyway. I know that the person that I'm related to was wanting to do that before he met her, and she was thinking about it anyway. She owns a house and she's selling it and she wants to rebuy it, and they've been, you know, seeing each other seriously. But and I like the direction it's going, and I'm not trying to get involved. I'm not saying it's not going to end up good, and I don't even know her, and I already think that I like her. There's things about her that I think are great. I just don't know how I feel about this idea of like, I feel like, why don't you think that seems like,
yeah, but the question is really, is it your place to get involved with that? You
not
know?
Really, I know.
Yeah,
it's not, I mean, it's not, but this person asked me for advice a lot.
I see.
So
okay, well, I would say if they ask you for advice, tell them what you feel about it, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think common sense says you need more than 2 months to really know a person,
for sure.
But you know, if they're in a rush and they want to have kids quickly and all that stuff, then they know they're taking a chance.
I don't even know if they know that they want to have kids with each other. I don't know. I'm not in their intimate conversations, but I don't know that it's even at that point, Sam.
I would think that they probably discussed it if they're discussing marriage already.
I don't
already.
Think they are not discussing marriage. I don't think
not discussing marriage.
I don't
think
that discussion happened. I think it's like...
So what is the issue here?
I don't
here?
Know. In like this part,
oh, moving in together?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Okay, fine. Moving
I
in together.
I thought they were like wanting to get married
no,
already.
No, moving
just
in together.
Just moving in together.
That's fine, Sam, but to buy a house together?
I see. Okay, they're buying the house. You see,
together.
I missed that.
Like,
detail.
I'm putting in this amount of money.
Right.
You're putting this amount. And we're... I'm like, why don't you just, like, move
they're going
to
be totally connected, even more than a marriage. You
right?
know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that freaks me out. Like, why now? Why do you have to do that right now?
Yeah.
And this, my... The person that I don't want
that
to say
you're related
who it is,
to. Okay.
The person I'm related to, is like that. He's like, sees something and he's like, I want it. I want to, yeah, like he's like dead. He gets like dead set on this one train of thought, like one track mind.
Right.
And so, and I think it's great. And I don't think that he would be thinking and considering these things if he didn't think this woman was something that he, someone he could see a future with.
Right.
But he's not at the point where he can even say like something very,
Well, you know what, Lauren? I think something's going on between them that you don't know.
Maybe.
You know, because otherwise, there's not,
but
no way they
would
do
that.
Why
wouldn't he say something to me about that then? Because he's very candid with me about all of his feelings and emotions with women and relationships.
Maybe he feels that it's that you're not going to approve or something.
I don't know about that because from the get-go, I've already said that I like thought this girl was a good choice based on the things on paper that he's dated other women like. That are very young or very this. And as soon as he told me about her, I was like, yes, go out with her. Yeah. And she's more assertive. She's his age. And I think that's great. That's what I've told him he needs to do. You need to be dating a woman in her mid-30s and not like a 21-year-old.
Right.
What are you doing?
See, old guys are like that,
I
man.
Know,
I'm telling you.
But
it's in the genes. It's like evolution for some reason.
And my fear is the thing that I'm scared of in this situation is that it's like good timing for the house and not me. It's like, okay, well, my lease is up and you're looking to buy a house and I kind of was too. And we've been kind of seeing each other for a couple months. So why don't we just do this together? To me, it's like, it's almost like the idea of the house is what's taking over the idea of thinking about you guys like mending your lives together. Do you really want to do that? Because that shouldn't be second. That should be first. And just hold off like a, I mean, and granted the whole housing buying process and selling takes a couple months. So maybe we've got some time, but it just, it. It makes me nervous. Yeah. I mean, come on, right? Don't you think that's a huge risk?
Mm. It is. But you know what? It's mainly financial risk.
That's
so,
what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, yeah, don't...
I mean,
I wouldn't get involved in that. Don't.
Right.
Yeah, just let it go and let them do... If you like the woman and he likes her and all that stuff, let them do this. It's more like a business transaction than anything.
I guess,
you know?
But I mean, dude, like, that's what I'm saying. It could be like a business transaction, but I know that what he ultimately wants is a relationship, too. So it's like...
With her?
In general. I don't know with her. I don't know. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I don't know that he can even make... You can't.
Yeah.
And I even talked to him about it. Like, well, what do you, you know, do you really think that, like, you see this person that you're like, are you in love with her? And he's like, I don't know yet. I mean, I don't know yet. And I'm like, well, if you don't know yet, then maybe don't buy the house yet.
Right.
That's
no, you're
I'm
absolutely
saying.
Right. You're absolutely right.
And
I
don't think he
it
should
totally
know.
Makes sense.
He shouldn't know that after a couple of months. But I just think then buying the house shouldn't happen either. But that's just my opinion. And I just wanted to see what you thought about
that. You never know. I mean, you know, if you find your soulmate right away, then you know it. You know, and maybe some people, you know, they don't need a lot of time to really decide this is the person for me.
And I think at our age, he's a little older than me, you don't need a lot of time. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't need to go on like 500 dates with you in order to know if I like you or not. It's like, if you're going on date number three with me, it's because I like you.
Right.
This is happening.
Now, would you or have you tried the Avenue? I mean, you're associated with 3-Day Rule. Have you tried their services at all?
I haven't tried their
services,
but I would, though.
Yeah? So tell them. I mean, at least go on their database. You don't have to pay, and because the guys will pay a lot to find a good woman.
Right.
And... Yeah, and plus, think about it. A guy that can afford that probably has a decent amount of money.
That's good, right?
And what I say is, if I was a woman, I would try to find a rich guy. And I'll tell you why. Because just because you're rich doesn't make you a bad man.
No,
you know,
at
you could find someone you love, and he already has money.
Right.
So why? I mean, so. If you can find someone you're attracted to that has money, why not do that?
Why not? I agree with that. And I don't
you know
think
what I'm saying? I mean, women look for security.
For sure. It doesn't need to be attached to a stigma of like, I'm a gold digger. This is why I want someone who, you could say has money or maybe is successful. And that's obviously reflected monetarily. But I want somebody like that because, A, that means you're good at something that you do. And that's attractive. Right. That means you're passionate about something. And also, I can take care of myself. So you should be able to take care of yourself. If I come to your apartment and you're sleeping on a mattress on a floor and you've got like 8 roommates.
Right.
Sorry, that's not the kind of life I live. You should be have a nice place to live like I do with a nice car that you drive, that you pay for all your bills. Like, we need to be on an equal playing field.
Right, exactly.
So I agree with you. And
why would you, like, people are like, we'll live on love and stuff.
No,
that doesn't make sense.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, come on. Love, if love were just enough, then I'd be married to the guy I was dating when I was 17 years old.
Right.
Not,
so what I'm saying is money is not the first consideration, but you should be looking in different areas.
And you should pay attention to that.
Exactly. And also think about it. I mean, the guys that are in matching services are, they're focused on getting married
they're
or getting a relationship. Exactly.
Exactly.
So they're very well qualified for
you. I agree.
You know.
Oh, no.
Try it. Do it. Get on their database.
I should.
And get on more than one, too. You know, go to a few companies.
I need to look into it. I don't know any other real ones, but that I know of them, obviously, now. And
I can refer you to another one. We had some matchmakers here before.
Okay.
And what they call theirs, I forgot. But they also seem to be pretty cool. So,
yeah
and besides, you can look it up and stuff. You know, you can find
And it doesn't hurt to be on a database and just go out with guys that they're, you know,
exactly
pairing you with.
And that's what I'm saying. So it's usually guys that are well off. They're focused. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Not much more.
You know, and as a woman, you don't have to pay because you're not that desperate.
Exactly.
So, you know.
I like it. I'd be into it. I'm not opposed to that
go
at all.
Do it. Talk to them.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, all you have to do really is get on the website and go on the database. I don't know if they look at it.
They
never called me. They never called me. But I think what they do is they actually connect with you. Like I told you, Kate was going to meet with me and find out a little bit more about you.
Right.
Yeah. But what I have a feeling is when they find guys, they want to find the ones that are going to pay, which I'm not at that point yet.
Right. So that's probably why they didn't contact
you. Yeah, exactly. Even though they say no. But how many women are there to pay for a guy who's not paying to be on there?
I see.
Right?
Yes.
It would be someone who's pretty, not necessarily desperate, but they want someone bad, and they're not successful at finding someone.
Totally. You know? I agree. I see what you're saying, and I do agree with that stigma that gets attached to that. So, but I mean, yeah, dating. Look, I've done online dating. I've done Tinder and all that crap. That, I mean, the three-day rule and stuff like that seems like a much more successful idea, and it seems like it would be quicker too. Like, you weed out the bad.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
They're doing that for you,
and they pre-qualify them for you.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? You know, you can't ask for much more than that.
I know.
All right. Well, we accomplished a lot in our conversation today, right?
We did. I feel good.
You thought we wouldn't
it.
Have anything to talk about?
I didn't.
We always have a lot of things to talk about.
I just always ask Sam in the beginning of the show, "What are we going to talk about?" He goes, "Don't worry." I'm like, I mean, I'm not worried. I'm just wondering if there's something specific today, and then listen to what we just babble on for an hour.
Exactly. You shoot the breeze. You know,
that's
and
right.
The thing is that you don't think the time is going to fly, and look, we're already late finishing off.
That's
so
right. Too much all right. to say.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Lauren, thank you so much for an entertaining
of
show.
Of course.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.